September 11, 1924. Prayers and Laments. Terrible opposition. Effects of one who opposes the divine will. I was feeling very disturbed, and I prayed Jesus to have compassion for me, and to take full care of my poor soul. And I said to him, "Oh, please, take even everyone away from me, as long as you alone remain with me. You alone are enough for me. After so long, you should have made me content. More so, since I ask for nothing but you alone." When this was happening, I was in that state of immobility of the night, from which the confessor must free me by calling me to obedience in the morning, before celebrating Holy Mass. Now, while I was saying these and other things, my Jesus took my arm, as if he himself wanted to free me, therefore doing the office of my confessor. Oh, how happy I felt in seeing that my Jesus was doing that. I thought to myself, "Finally, the hardest of my sacrifices is over." But, vain and fleeting happiness! As Jesus took my arm, at that very moment he ran away, and I was left in my usual state, without being able to regain consciousness. Oh, how I cried! And I prayed that he would have compassion for me. Then, after a few hours, my adorable Jesus came back, and seeing me crying and all embittered, said to me, "My daughter, do not cry. Don't you want to trust your Jesus? Let me do, and do not take things lightly. Rather, oh, how many sad things are about to happen. My justice can no longer hold back its thunderbolts to strike the creatures. They are all about to break out, one against the other. And when you hear the evils of your brothers, you will feel remorse for your oppositions to your usual sacrifice, as if you too had contributed to push my justice to strike the creatures." On hearing this, I said, "My Jesus, let this never be, nor do I want to withdraw from your will. On the contrary, I beg you to free me from the ugliest of misfortunes, that of not doing your most holy will. I do not ask you to free me from suffering. Rather, feel free to increase it. The only thing I ask of you, as a grace I want from you always if you want it, is that you free me from the bother I give to the confessor. This is too hard for me, and I feel I do not have the strength to bear it. So, only if you please. Otherwise, give me more strength, but do not permit that your most holy will be not fulfilled upon me." And Jesus, continuing to speak, added, "My daughter, remember that I asked of you a yes in my will, and you pronounced it with all love. That yes still exists and holds its prime place in my unending will. Everything you do, think and say, is bound to that yes, which nothing can escape, and my will enjoys and makes feast in seeing a will of creature live in my will. And I keep filling her with new graces, making of all of your acts divine acts. This is the greatest portent which exists between heaven and earth. It is the object most dear to me. And if that yes were to be snatched from me, may this never be. I would feel like being torn from myself and I would cry bitterly. Observe, as you made that little opposition, your yes trembled with fright. At that trembling, the foundations of heaven were shaken, trembling. All the saints and the angels and all the sphere of eternity looked with horror and with sorrow, feeling an act of divine will being ripped from them, because, since my will enwraps everyone and everything, they felt the acts done by you as one thing with themselves. And so all felt that painful tearing. I could say that all took the attitude of profound sorrow. Frightened by the words of Jesus, I said, "My love, what are you saying? Is this possible, all this trouble? Your words make me die of pains. Oh, please, forgive me. Have mercy on me, who am so bad, and confirm my yes by binding me more tightly to your will. Even more, make me die, rather than letting me go out of your will." And Jesus, again, "My daughter, calm down. As soon as you placed yourself again in my will, All things regained calm and took the attitude of a new feast. May your yes continue its rapid rounds within the immensity of my will. Ah, daughter, neither you nor those who direct you have known what it means to live in my will. This is why you do not appreciate it, and keep it as a thing of no importance, and this is a pain for me. On the contrary, this is the thing which interests me the most, and which should, more than anything else, interest all. But, alas, they pay attention to other things, things which are less pleasing or indifferent to me, rather than to that which glorifies me the most, and which gives them, also on this earth, immense and eternal goods, rendering them owners of the goods which my will possesses. See, my will is one, and embraces all eternity. Now, by living in my will and by making it her own, the soul comes to take part in all the joys and goods that my will contains, and she becomes the owner of them. And even though while being on earth she does not feel all those joys and goods, by keeping them in deposit within her will by virtue of my will done on earth, when she dies and finds herself up there in heaven, she will feel all those joys and goods which my will delivered in heaven while she was living on earth. Nothing will be taken away from her. On the contrary, it will be multiplied. In fact, if the saints enjoy my will in heaven because they live in it, it is always enjoying that they live in glory. While the soul who lives in my will on earth lives suffering, and it is not appropriate for her to have that joy and those goods which are reserved for her in heaven, with greater abundance, because of the works she has done in her living in my divine will. So, how many immense riches does one who live in my will on earth not take in heaven? I can say that all eternity wanders around her to enrich her and to make her happy. She is deprived of nothing of all that the divine will contains. She is its daughter, its very will, and it loves her so much that all its joys are placed in common with her. Therefore, be attentive, my daughter, and do not want to oppose my designs, which I made upon you.